You have your Bibles this morning. Would you please once again find the book of the Revelation? This time, if you would find the third chapter of the book of the Revelation. Yesterday, I made my way home from the office after I'd finished up my preparation. And I walked through the front door, and I don't know if somebody asked me what I was preaching on or something, but Allie asked me, my youngest daughter, "Dad, are we finally out of chapter number 2? I want to thank you, Allie, for that great encouragement that you gave to your dad. Then she proceeded to say, "Is it going to pick up from here?" I thought, well, I don't think it's going to pick up from here. But yes, we are out of chapter number 2. We're not out of point number 2 of the book of the Revelation, but we're out of chapter number 2. And today we enter chapter number 3. Would you pick up, please, in verse number 1? "And unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things saith he that hath the 7 spirits of God and the 7 stars. I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art," would you say that word please, class? "Dead. Be watchful. Strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. For I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard. Hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis," what a statement, "which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life." Thank you, God, for eternal security. "But I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." We find in Revelation chapter number 3 today, the 5th church in our series of these 7 churches that make up the section in the book of the Revelation that John was revealing to us into the way that things are. We're looking at these 7 churches and we're finding a historical description, both positive and negative, of what was going on in those churches. But we also find a pertinent relativeness and relation and application for the day in which you and I live in. The first church we looked at the church at Ephesus, and God gave them some commendation, but he said to them, "Be careful, you've left your first love." To the church at Smyrna, it was a church that was persecuted, and God told them to be faithful to the end. To the church at Pergamos, they were a compromising church, and they were entertaining the doctrine of Balaam, which was an Old Testament act, and where that false prophet had figured out the demise of Israel, and he brought into them a compromise and worship and in false idols. The last 2 weeks, we've looked at the church in Thyatira. We understood that that was a seduced church. And God said, "I've got something against you because you let that woman Jezebel come in there and you let her teach and you let her seduce my servants. You let her seduce them to commit fornication and to eat things offered unto idols and to be involved in false idolatry." And so the 4 churches that we have previously looked at, if you take a description of them and you kind of make that application in our day, here's what Jesus is saying. There are some churches that have lost their first love, which means there are churches that meet together and they do not love the Lord more than they love any other. Let that not be said about our church. He says, I understand there are some churches in the world today that are being persecuted. Now, you and I have no clue about that. I shouldn't say that in totality, for we have people from all over the world that make up our membership today. And maybe you do come from a part of the world that's being persecuted. But here's what Jesus said. Jesus said, even in the midst of persecution, I want for my church to be faithful to me unto the end. If you were to take these letters and you make them applicable to our day today, you would find that there are some churches that have succumbed to the doctrine of Balaam, which means they preach a compromised gospel. They have been compromised in the doctrines of the Word of God. They've been compromised in the belief of the Word of God. They've been watered down. They've been able to not know the true authority of the gospel. They've been brought to a position of compromise. Then you would find, if you make the application today, that there are churches that have known the seduction away from the gospel. They've been seduced to fornication. They've been seduced into false idolatry. They've been seduced away from the truth of the Word of God. A loveless, a persecuted, a compromising, and a seduced church. Today, in chapter number 3, verses 1 to 6, we find the fifth church in. Here's what the Lord said about that church. The Lord said about that church, I know you have a name and you have a reputation, but when I look at you, I do not see life. And so Sardis today would represent churches that exist that are spiritually dead. And I submit to you that if there are churches that have lost their first love, there are churches that need to be encouraged to be faithful, there are churches that have succumbed to compromise and succumbed to seduction, today we will find a church that ultimately is absent of spiritual life. Churches are made up of people. If you're part of the church, would you say amen? Amen. Churches are not brick and mortar. This building is not the church. The Bible says that the church is really the individual. The church is those folks that have been indwelt and inhabited by God. The reason that our churches have known this is because the people that are in those churches have known these things. As I preach the message to you today, I need you to understand that as I preach this message, I don't necessarily see Plantation Baptist Church in these positions. I just don't ever want us to find ourselves there. I will preach this message to individuals and to persons, and it's a personal message. And I'm asking God, I'm going to make you, with the power of the Spirit of God, I'm going to make you confront yourself today and look yourself in the mirror of the gospel. And when you leave here, you will either be secured that one day Jesus will confess you before the Father, or you will be sobered to the fact of where you stand with the Lord. I need you to understand the city that this letter is written to. The city is Sardis. The city of Sardis was a city that was located in Western Asia Minor. It was a city that was strategically located because it found itself resting on a route that went from the sea into the mountain country. And if the merchants or the investors were going to make their money as the supplies came in on the sea, they had to run through the city of Sardis. The city of Sardis knew what it was to have a heyday. They knew what it was to have a bustling time. It was a city that was known for its gold and for its wealth. It had arisen to great power. It had become the capital of an ancient kingdom called Lydia. Of course, as wealth and money was to be made, just like any metropolitan city, it began to draw the peoples of the world. And so as the peoples of the world began to fill into Sardis, they found that they brought to them their cults, their sects, S-E-C-T-S, brought to them the city their religion. It was not long that the city of Sardis was given over to tremendous, tremendous pagan worship. If you find you a Bible dictionary or you do a little historical research on Sardis and you look at their temples and the way that they worshiped, you would almost make you blush as to how they appropriated themselves. The city had known defeat. It had known the defeat by a couple of warriors that came in there, and it found itself in a resurgence period under Roman rule, but it never really attained what it had prior to the defeat. And so it was a city that had a great history, but the present moment of it did not measure up. It was a city that really and truthfully one time was filled with life, and now it was empty. It was this city that found itself having a little church. And it's interesting that as the Lord Jesus begins to describe this church, it very much mirrors the way the city had become. Immediately when you get to chapter number 3, you realize that we've turned a page on how the Lord is communicating to these churches. Usually, in the previous 4 churches, the Lord would begin with some kind of commendation, some kind of positive encouragement. There would be good before there would be bad. There would be a recognition of their works or recognition of goodness. And then he would say, I have somewhat against you or because of this. When you get to the church at Sardis, immediately the Lord Jesus begins with condemnation. He's not mixing any words. He's immediately going after the problem. And the condemnation that lies into this church is found in verse number 1. And I want to read it again and I want you to see it because it is a stinging assessment of the Lord Jesus. And the Lord Jesus says unto them, these things saith he that have the 7 spirits of God and the 7 stars. I know thy works, that thou hast a name that thou livest and art dead. Jesus is looking at the church in Sardis and he's having John write them a letter. And here's what he wants them to know. He says, I know among the community, and I know even probably in the midst of other churches, and somewhat within your own mind, that you have a name and you have a reputation that you are alive. But when I look at you as the Lord of the church, when I do not end my gaze on the outward appearance and I look upon the heart of that church, I do not find a heartbeat inside of you, Sardis. I know that you have a reputation. I know that you are the church to go to. I know that on the outside you're organized like a church. I know that you do missions. I'm sure you have great music. I'm sure you have all of the programs. I would assume that if we would look at the church at Sardis and look at Acts chapter 2, you would see some kind of outward relations. I understand that the city is invested in you and you are invested in the city. I understand that you're receiving accolades from the city and other churches. There is a reputation of life. But when I look at you, I don't see a heartbeat. I do not ever want the Lord Jesus to look at Plantation Baptist Church and call us a dead church. Pastor, what do you mean by a dead church? Jesus said, thou art dead. He's speaking of a spiritual deadness here. Really and truthfully, what the Lord Jesus is saying is, at the church in Sardis, there is the absence of spiritual life. There's not the absence of program. There's not the absence of preaching. There's not the absence of church organization. There's not the absence of formalism and ritualism. I mean, you're having your 3 services and you're having the table of the Lord and you have the choir and you have Sunday school and people are coming and you have Christmas lights and you have outreach and you have all of these things. And man alive, everybody thinks that's the place to be. But when I look at you, I don't see a spiritual heartbeat. And by the way, what the physical heart is to physical life, the spiritual heart is to eternal life. And my friend, there is life after your death. The absence of spiritual life. Notice who's saying this. Come back, if you would, to verse number 1. These things saith he that hath the, say those 4 words, please. seven spirits of God. We found in Revelation chapter number 1 that that is the way that the Holy Spirit is described in totality. This is not seven individual spirits of God. The Bible says that there's one Lord, one Spirit, one faith, one baptism. We talked about this last week. So here's what the Holy Spirit of God says. When the church gathers together, for the most part, I'm absent. I'm absent. Pastor, why is it necessary that the Holy Spirit of God be present when the church gathers? I submit to you that without the Holy Spirit of God, you don't have a church. Now, because of the nature of the message, you got to read the Bible. Hold your hand here. Put something in Revelation. We're coming back. Go to Romans, if you would, please. Find the 8th chapter of the book of Romans. Romans chapter 8, verse number 1. Thank you for turning your Bible. I love to hear those pages. If you have an electronic Bible, would you download the Page Sound app? Let it ring. Do they make that, Pastor? Yeah, I thought I was going to go on Shark Tank with that one day, but I found out somebody already beat me to it. Verse number 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. If that's you, would you say amen? Thank you, God. Who walk or live not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled. Say those two words. In us, not by us, in us. I have written in my Bible under that verse, by Jesus Christ. Now watch. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind, obey, live, entertain, act, behave according to the things of the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. How you live your life is testimony to whether you operate according to the flesh or according to the Spirit. How you live your life is evidence whether you have been born again or you've not been born again. Keep reading. For to be carnally minded is, say it, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God, say those three words, class, dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Look at verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Sardis, I know you, I see you, I understand you. Sardis, you got a great reputation amongst the community and amongst other churches. But when it comes to the opinion of Christ, I do not see spiritual life in you. Therefore, you're dead. The Holy Spirit of God is saying to that church, I'm not there. I'm absent. I'm not possessed by you. I'm not in leadership of you. Wait a minute, Pastor. They're doing everything right. I mean, they're doing all of these works. They've got all of this organization. They got this wonderful reputation. There's no way that could be said. Look, if you would please, back in the book of the Revelation, what Jesus said about their works. He said, "For I have not found thy works perfect or complete before God." They had a reputation of being alive, and Jesus said, "You're dead." I want to ask you a question. The only way that churches get like that is because the people that belong to churches are like that. The only way churches get like that are because the people that go to church are like that. I love you, you love me. Together we love the Lord. Together we love our church. I never want it to be said that our church is dead spiritually. The only way that our church is going to be dead spiritually is if it's filled with spiritually dead people. Right. I'm asking you, when God looks at you, does he know and reckon spiritual life in you? Is there the presence of the Holy Spirit of God living in you? Pastor, how do I know if the Holy Spirit of God lives in me? You know the Holy Spirit of God lives in you when you have the evidence of the Spirit of God. You have the fruit of the Spirit of God in the book of Galatians. But you also have the characteristics of the Spirit of God. The Bible said in the book of Revelation that there were seven of them. Hold your hand here. Go to the book of Isaiah in the Old Testament. Find, if you would, please, Isaiah chapter 11. And never forget this passage. Isaiah chapter number 11. Isaiah is about in the middle of your Bible, about halfway through there, just a little to the left of that. There is a description here. Verse number 1. "And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots," speaking of the Lord Jesus. Now watch this. "And the Spirit of the Lord," number 1, "shall rest upon him. The Spirit of wisdom," number 2. "Understanding," number 3. "Counsel," number 4. "Might," number 5. "Knowledge," number 6. "Fear of the Lord," number 7. I believe you have in Isaiah chapter number 11 a description of the seven spirits of God. Now, it's not individual spirits. It's the one Holy Spirit of God. There's the fruit of the Spirit given to us in the book of Galatians. But here his nature is described. He's the Spirit of the living Lord. He's the Spirit of wisdom, of counsel, of understanding, of might, of knowledge, and of the fear of the Lord. And what Jesus is telling to the church at Sardis is this: you're operating under your own manipulation. You're operating under your own disguise. And my Spirit is not there. Therefore, everything you are doing in your works are incomplete. And there's not a spiritual heartbeat inside of this church. There's the absence of spiritual life. Basically, he's telling them what 2 Timothy 3:5 said. You have a form of godliness, but you deny the power of that. You deny the authority. Paul told us in last days, in the days in which you and I live in, that there would be this this movement of a form where everything is going to look right to the human eye, but to the divine eye, there's going to be the truth. You're going to have your formalism. You're going to have your ritualism. You're going to have the way that you do things. But in reality, there's been the substitute of human manipulation for the Holy Spirit of God. Never let us substitute human manipulation for the Holy Spirit of God. I'm asking you right now, in your life, do you have a form of godliness? But do you have the power of God? Do you look alive? But when God sees you, he sees the absence of spiritual life. Publicly, you got a name. You're Tom Hunter. You're the pastor of Plantation Baptist Church. You're on the internet. You. But what about my private life? I want you to understand something. Nobody in this church will ever stand before me, but me and you will all stand before the Lord. And the Lord of the church, who has the seven spirits of God, looked at Sardis and said, "You're not alive. You're a dead man walking. You're a spiritual dead church walking." How do I know if I have spiritual life? You cannot have spiritual life without possessing the Holy Spirit of God. Okay? Let's be real clear about this. You cannot have spiritual life without possessing the Holy Spirit of God. When did you possess the Holy Spirit of God? When did you get saved? When were you born again? Pastor, I've been a Christian all my life. Everyone who's been a Christian all their life will spend all of eternity in hell. Because nobody's been a Christian all their life. Nobody. 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 Nobody's been a Christian all their life. When were you brought into spiritual life? Men. Do you remember when your children were born? Was any man brave enough to be in the room when your kids were born? Can I see your hand? If you had your ruthers? Mm-hmm. So number one comes along. And I'm at the loving end of all that's going on. And a doctor comes in and says, "Do you want to be on the business end?" Come on, come on, come on, Dad, come on. No. Number two came along. Doc says, "You want to be on the business?" I said, "Don't talk. No. Remember last time? Not doing it. I'm up here. This is my job." Breathe, right? Here we go. Number three comes along. Don't ask. I don't want to be on the business end. Number four comes along. Got a little bit of a problem. Business ain't going like it should. We didn't know how close we were. We knew we had a little problem. We didn't know how close we were to Beverly losing her life, to Allie losing her life. We didn't know how close we were to being rushed in. We were just there. And I don't know, I could tell they were getting concerned, and so I made my way just to the doctor a little bit. And I'll never forget that moment when all of a sudden Allie's being born, and in the way that she was born, she actually kind of turned and looked at me during the whole process. I would like to say that it was awesome, but it was the freakiest thing that has ever happened to me in my life. I could paint you a picture of that moment. Freaky. I love you, Allie, but it haunts me. I remember when Tommy was born, I was on the loving end, and I just heard the doctor say, "You got your boy." Who cared? Okay, good. I'm glad. But I remember when she was born. Do you remember when you were born spiritually? When When did you bow your knee? When did you call upon the Lord? When were you brought out of darkness into light? When were you saved? It has not been your whole life. Here's the problem. The only way you have a dead church is you have people that are dead filling these churches. And here's what I'm learning. You can attend church like crazy and think you're spiritual, but never been spiritually born. Think. Where were you? What happened? How was your life different? When did you call upon the Lord? Well, I just did. When? I don't know, Pastor. I think. When? I don't know. I know I love the Lord. Who cares? Everybody loves the Lord. I know I didn't want to do that. I know. When did the Spirit of God come into you? Well, I didn't know he had to. The Bible says if he ain't in you, you're none of his. Sardis, you look great. You're dead, man. How'd you get dead? Nobody knows me. Oh, there's a few names. This is how churches are going. You can come into this church and sit here and under the radar and just think that you have life. But if you don't have that Spirit of God in you, there's the absence of spiritual life. I'm asking you, when did you receive spiritual life? Jesus said to them as a command, look if you would at verse number 2. Be watchful. Wake up. He says to the church, strengthen those things which remain that are ready to die. For I've not found thy works perfect before God. Remember how thou hast received and heard. Hold fast and repent. He's giving them the command to wake up and to understand truth. He's giving them the opportunity to be watchful in their own souls. He's speaking here to the church, telling them to strengthen the things which remain. Don't let the spiritual things die. This church has been made, it's without a heartbeat, but there's some righteous people in there. There's some people in there that do know the Lord. He's encouraging this church in life. That word strengthen is the word invigorate, to breathe life into that. Listen, do you know the reason that most churches are without any kind of life? Is because most churches are without the filling or the presence of the Holy Spirit of God. Why are most people without spiritual life? Why are so many people so frustrated in going to church? They want to quit in their ministries. They're so bored out of their mind. They're one thing publicly and another thing privately. They're so disappointed in this. There's no joy, Pastor. I'm here today and I would rather be somewhere else. It's just a duty. It's just a drudge. I mean, it's just not joyful or living. Right. Because we're missing out on the Holy Spirit of God in the church today. When I get to the seventh church, not only is the Holy Spirit of God missing, Jesus is on the outside. Sardis, you look beautiful, man. The whole community thinks you're alive, but you're dead. Well, how can we be dead? You don't have life. You don't have the Holy Spirit of God. If you had the Holy Spirit of God, you would have the wisdom of God. You'd have the understanding of God. You'd have the holiness of God, the reverence of God. These things would be alive inside of the church. And by the way, there's never going to be a holy church without holy people. You're not going to have a holy church if you don't have a holy pastor. No. If I'm filled with immorality, this church will be filled with immorality. If I'm filled with dishonesty, this church is going to be filled with dishonesty. If the church is filled with dishonesty, we're in trouble. And this is what's happening to churches. There's not a pastor anymore. You can just come in and be part of any church. But here's where we're off base. The Bible teaches church membership. That's right. It teaches it. Oh, I don't believe in a membership. God does. Well, I don't see it. When you stand before God, you'll see it. So to be a member of a church, the Bible teaches you got to be born again and you got to be water baptized. So if we don't have membership anymore, then just everybody comes in and everybody does what they want to do and everybody moves about. But there's no redemption. There's no salvation. There's no preacher asking you, when were you saved, Brother Neil? I led you to the Lord, Brother Brown. I remember you getting off your knees receiving the Lord. Brother Malcolm, tell me about your salvation testimony. Tell me about it. Brother Anthony, tell me, when were you saved? When were you baptized? How do you know the Lord? Nobody cares anymore. The preacher comes in, they fly him in, he preaches, they fly him out. I like that part. Jesus said to the church at Sardis, I'm the seven spirits, and I also hold those seven stars. I'm holding that pastor. That pastor's accountable to you. He better preach you the truth. Somebody needs to know, is there spiritual life in you? Because you're going to stand before the Lord one day, man. And it's going to be exposed. Here's what Jesus said to them. I will come on you as a thief. And thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee if you don't repent. He's telling them, listen, I'm giving you time to understand your deadness. And I'm giving you time to know life. Listen, I was spiritually dead, but I now know spiritual life. If that's you, say amen. My friends, if you're here and you know that on the outward you look alive, but on the inward there is no spiritual life. You know that. The admonition to you is to repent today. You do not want to die and go to hell. You don't want to be in hell thinking, if I had one more day, if I would have taken that opportunity, if I would have done this. And Jesus said, I'm going to come like a thief in the night. He's speaking here of catching away the church and positioning that. But this is personally relevant to your life. The time is now. Today's the day of salvation. I do not want the Lord, nor do I think he holds this opinion of our church. But I don't want all these people that come to the Christmas life to think that, hey, man, that's the place that you go. That church is happening. And I don't want Jesus to look at us and say, Tom, you got a dead church there. God forbid. Amen. The only way he's going to say that is if we're filled with people that are like that. Pastor, you're scaring me. I want to sober you. I want to sober you to the fact, and if you can, we'll leave here after this in about 30 more minutes. I want to sober you to the fact that you cannot play games with Jesus. You can't play games with Jesus. You can't. You can't. You can't. You cannot play games with Jesus. Oh, I love verse number 4. Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments. They shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment. I will not blot out his name of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He, here's that individualism again. Here's what Jesus says. Man, on the outward, Sardis, you look great, but I know you're dead. Now you got a few. When I was in school, two was a couple and three was a few. Do you remember that? Some of you didn't go to school, but that's okay. Two was a couple, three was a few. So here's what Jesus said. Even in Sardis, here's a few. In the church age, you may have and this is a description here. There's deadness, but there are some churches that are alive. Hallelujah, let's be one of those churches. He said, even in that church, there's a few names that will not be blotted out of the book. Old Bible scholars go back and forth. It's a great classroom education. Are they written in or are they blotted out? I don't know. I don't have the answer for that. I told you I wouldn't sensationalize it. Here's what I will tell you. What that verse is teaching, that is, if you truly know the Lord, you'll never be lost. Here's what Jesus said. To those few names, remember that you'll walk with me one day. Oh, my friends, you can play all the games you want to play and build the life you want to live, but a life built on the Lord Jesus is a true life. He says, there's some that haven't defiled their robes. What do they defile it with? Deadness and faithlessness. There's some that really do know me. To those that really do know him, he says this, I'm coming. And you're going to walk with me in glory. And there's going to be a day that I'm going to take you up to see my Father. There's going to be a day that I'm going to say, Father, this is so-and-so. He's believed in his heart. He's confessed with his mouth. He has by faith trusted me. The Spirit of God lives in him. He knows spiritual life. He has overcome. I confess him to you. Welcome your child. And the Lord Jesus is going to say, or the Father's going to say, enter into the joy of thy reward. What a hope we have as Christians. God's going to confess us before the throne, but he's not going to confess the absence of spiritual life. He's not. To me, and please don't take this wrong, I think the whole world needs this message today. I think the whole world needs this message today. I know thy works. I know you have a name. Oh, a name that you live. But you're dead. Sardis, there's the absence of spiritual life. Please tell me that's not you. And if that is you, and you're know personally that there is the absence of the fullness of the Holy Spirit in your life, the fruit of the Holy Spirit and the characteristics of the Holy Spirit of God, and you live your life kind of a secret and distant direction, and it's all this life, but when Jesus looks at it, he sees absence. The good news for you is that there's still time to repent. Still time to be saved. I'm not trying to drive you from church. I'm trying to draw you to the precious Savior. You cannot play games with God. He knows the truth. I think we live in a world that's playing games with God. On an individual level, let that not be so about us.